Hello there, this is Glenn Crozier. Today I'm chatting with copywriter Ben Settle. We're talking about Twitter. More specifically, Ben is going to share some ideas about how to write tweets for maximum response. This is going to be based on his top 10 most successful tweets. Before we dive into that, a little bit of background about Ben. Ben's a direct response copywriter whose clients have included millionaire entrepreneurs, small business owners, including other copywriters and marketing consultants. Ben also teaches copywriting and marketing skills. His techniques are embraced by people around the globe. He's really well known for teaching methods that are easy to follow and inexpensive to implement. I've personally got to know Ben through his blog and his emails, and they're just awesome. They're just packed with tons and tons of like really useful tips that you can use, you know, straight away. I get the impression that Ben's passionate about freely sharing his best information. I don't know if you'll agree with that, but if you go to bensettle.com, you'll see exactly what I mean. Anyway, Ben, are you there?
I am here, Glenn.
Hello. So, thanks so much for taking some time out to speak to us about your top 10 tweets, really, which all started with... I think it was a blog post, wasn't it, last week?
It was about a week or two ago. And the funny thing about that blog post, which was also an email, originally it was an email I sent to my list, is I really just did it just to do, because I wanted to put something up, because I don't think I'd put something up in a while. And so I thought, well, what can I do that's real quick? And I said, well, I have some tweets that were kind of, got me some good feedback from them, and I thought I'd just throw those up there, and all of a sudden I couldn't believe the response to it. To me, they were just common Twitter posts. You know, I didn't really think much of them, but I guess a lot of other people have. And then you contacted me, and I thought, well, maybe we should dissect these a little bit and see what's making them work.
Yeah, sure. I think people that I spoke to, there's when they're kind of getting, you know, just getting going with Twitter, I mean, I've got, I don't know, a few hundred followers, that's about it. I haven't been using it that much because I've kind of been thinking about it a bit too much. And I've noticed people that have got, they've got a lot of, you know, genuine friends or relationships built up on Twitter. A lot of what they're doing is conversational, and that's really cool, and then they're putting in the odd links. But when people are just getting going... I've noticed that they're particularly worried about looking like a spammer and sending out too many links, or they're just tweeting and no one's ever replying, which seems to be quite common. So it's when you put together your top 10, in terms of response, was it comments and click-throughs that you were, how you were measuring that response?
I was measuring it mostly by either direct messages or the reply function within Twitter where people can reply directly back to you. I notice a lot of times, and maybe this is kind of the irony of social media, and some people don't publicly want to talk on there, so they send you a direct message or they'll even send you a private email. Kind of like you.
Yeah.
I mean, that's how you contacted me. You got me through email. So I kind of just gauged it through just how... I mean, I don't have exact numbers on how many people responded and what they said. I just remember those 10 being ones that seem to get people's attention.
Okay. Before we actually go into each of the tweets, then when you write a tweet, do you kind of just bang them out, or do you think about applying sort of basic copywriting principles, or as a copywriter, is it just something you do naturally anyway?
Yeah, you know what it is. The funny thing is. I'm finding myself using Twitter more than my own blog now because it's so much easier. You don't have to write a lot. You only get 140 characters. So a lot of times these things will start out as, hey, I'll write a whole email about this or a blog post about this. And I'm kind of lazy. I think I'll just write a tweet about it. And so they tend to be discarded emails that I just throw up there that have interesting information in them.
Okay. And so it's not as if you're, you know, like when you say writing a headline or even a headline to a blog post, let alone, a piece of copy, it's not as if you're, you know, trying tons of different variations and think, oh, well, that's going to generate that kind of response or, you know, that's going to work better. You're just sort of banging them out there, really, yeah?
Yeah, I mean, I can tell you this. When I'm thinking of emails to write or blog, when I say emails, I mean that. That's interchangeable with blog posts, because every time I write an email, it pretty much goes on my blog. So,
yeah.
But every time I write an email, that's what I do is I'll write down little ideas that are usually only one or two sentences. That and I'll just put it in a file somewhere, and maybe I'll use it someday, and maybe I won't. Sometimes I just have so many things sitting there on the hard drive. Lately, I've just been, well, I'll throw a tweet up about this. You know, it's an interesting resource. You know what I mean? And it really
kind of
helps, actually.
Okay, should we start dissecting some of these tweets, and maybe start in reverse order so we can kind of build up some momentum to the number one, hey?
Okay.
Just for a bit of fun. But if anyone's listening to this now, they can see the actual blog post on bensettle.com/Twitter, and it'll be right up there, so you can see the top 10 anyway, and you can follow along and do whatever you like. But so what was in number 10 position then, Ben? What was that tweet all about?
Well, I can tell you what was in number 10, but I didn't really put these in a specific order. I mean, I don't know if that matters.
Okay. I kind of thought it was like one was the biggest response, and number 10 was like not so big. But okay, well, let's just go through in whatever order you want to talk about it, really.
I think I ordered them in just in my own personal
preference.
Yeah, and they didn't necessarily mean the first one got the most response or anything, or most. So it's just kind of my own. I don't know. I don't know how I did. Maybe I just threw them up there. I don't remember.
Your own order, yeah. I kind of really took it really seriously that it was the top 10, and I was trying to figure out why the number one tweet. Why that was most successful compared to the number 10, and I was going to ask you about that, but they're all really, it kind of looks obvious to me why they would generate some response but I'm not going to say what I think it's all about, because that's what I'd like to hear from you yourself. So, whatever order, let's go from the top, shall we?
Okay, I'll just start with the first one about the James Whelan Agency. That's actually a newsletter I recently found. It's been around for a long time, so what I did is a lot of people who follow me on that site on Twitter are people from my own my own list. So I know they're into that sort of thing. And this might be kind of a good point to bring up. A lot of the people who follow me, as far as I know, are all in business. I mean, there might be a few people who just maybe saw something I wrote and they liked the politics of it or something. But for the most part, I'm writing to my list. I just look at this as another blog, basically.
Yeah.
So I when I put that up there, I knew that people who like to read my stuff will probably like to read that thing. So all I was basically doing was passing good information on.
Yeah. So I'll just read it out, and I'm just kind of going back to the original post, and this is like me kind of being dumb. You do say, here they are in no particular order, just for anyone listening. I just made a mistake there. But anyway, so it says, so the actual tweet itself is, I have to admit, this is fast becoming one of my favorite marketing e-newsletter, and then there's the link to the James Whelan Agency. Do you think really it's just a case of being really targeted information to basically the people that are following you? That's, you know, relevancy is the key there, yeah?
Well, yeah, and especially since right now we're at a point of time where people are unsubscribing from lists because a lot of emails don't offer anything interesting or entertaining or of value.
Okay, great. Say okay. Well, number two then is it's. I'll read it out. Looking at a site, Ken McCarthy. It's got the link. Told me about yesterday. Jot.com. He calls it a writer's best friend. So that was a popular one, was it?
It was, because Jot.com. And this was I wrote that one because when Ken told me about it, I thought, well, that is a really, really neat resource that I've never heard anybody talk about. So So I decided to pass that along to everybody else. And what that site is it will dictate, I believe you can read things in, and it'll dictate whatever you want. You know, you read it in.
Wow.
It spits it out as text, I believe. I actually haven't used it. That's the funny thing. I haven't actually used it. I just knew a lot of writers would like it.
Yeah.
And they did, apparently. So.
Oh, well, yeah. That sounds quite interesting. So anyone listening that hasn't got the Ben's blog post in front of them, it's that's JOTT.com, and that's what Ken McCarthy called writer's best friend. So that was a really popular tweet. I mean, the first two, basically, it seems like they were really popular because you're putting out good information, good useful link there, and I think kind of just with a little bit of commentary on each one of them, which I guess as well, you know, so people are knowing you and they come to expect that you're going to be putting out useful links there. I certainly know that from the emails that I've received, that if you provide a link, it's definitely worth checking out. So, okay, the next one then is, if Joe the Plumber simply copied Al the Plumber, he wouldn't either need Barry's or McLean's tax cuts. I'm not sure I fully understand that. And then there's a link. So can you explain that one then, Ben?
Oh, yeah, and this is very much an American inside joke, probably, because, as you know, we recently had our elections between McCain and Barack Obama, and I didn't personally support either one of them, so I figure I have full reign to make fun of both their names if I want, and I'm an equal opportunity offender in this case. But the point was, I believe I wrote that on the night of their third debate, and they were talking about Joe the Plumber. I mean, that was like the whole thing. And I can't really go into who Joe the Plumber is and all that, but the point is, Joe the Plumber brought up this whole tax cut thing, and all of a sudden it spread like wildfire to the media. And these two guys are talking about Joe the Plumber a lot during their third debate. So my mind, for whatever reason, my mind kind of related Joe the Plumber to this guy named Al the Plumber. Al the Plumber, if, for those who don't know who Dan Kennedy is, Dan Kennedy is a marketing teacher, you know, excellent marketing teacher. He has this, he used to give a talk whenever he'd go to seminars about a story he would tell about Al the Plumber, who was a plumber who had used these really good marketing techniques to get himself packed with business. And it's very hard to find the text of that talk anymore. However, I remember I went through internetarchive.org, and I found it. So I thought, well, I'll link to that, because it's a very valuable lesson, by the way, for anyone who wants to do marketing. And I just kind of related Al the Plumber, which was on everybody's, or Joe the Plumber, which was on like everybody's mind that night, with Al the Plumber, and kind of turned it into a marketing lesson. And I think people found that kind of maybe a little amusing. Some people probably found it amusing. Some people probably found it helpful. But it was definitely kind of relevant and interesting either way.
Yeah, I mean, when I saw it, even though I didn't get the Joe the Plumber bit, it certainly aroused my curiosity to click it. It kind of looked really well written, for sure. And it's really, I mean, I've got loads of Dan Kennedy stuff, but I'd never heard that Al the Plumber story before. And
really?
I'd never heard it. And strangely enough, it was a friend of mine, when your email first came through and I was reading this tweet, and I was telling this my friend about these, you know, your post, these top 10 tweets kind of thing. And he started talking about, he hadn't seen it, but he started talking about Al the Plumber story. And I said, well, it's the second time in about a space of 5 minutes I've just heard about this, but I'd never actually read the story through. So, and that link goes to the story. So that's really cool.
Yeah, it's definitely a classic. It's something when Dan Kennedy used to speak at Peter Lowe conferences, he would always give the same, at least for as far as I understand, he would give the same type of speech, and he would tell that story, which is really a good marketing lesson in and of itself. So I think anyone who read that, even if they were maybe offended, because you get a lot of partisan people out there, you know, I probably offended a lot of people with that. They probably didn't care because, wow, I just learned this really cool lesson about Al the Plumber.
Oh, right. You didn't get any, you know, you didn't get any kind of backlash from it then.
No. I got to be honest. Sometimes I wish I would get some more backlash, but I sometimes try to push things a little bit, but I'm probably not pushing hard enough. But you want to kind of try to polarize people in some ways, you know. You know, if you're not turning off the people you don't want, you're probably not turning on the people you do want. So.
Oh, okay, yeah. So I mean, the last thing that you want is indifference, isn't it? Because that basically means you're just getting ignored.
Exactly. That's exactly it. And that goes back to that first tweet of the James Whelan agency. There's a lot of people aren't going to probably just disgusted by it, the emails he writes, you know. And then there's all the people like who love it, you know.
Yeah, I haven't checked it out yet, actually, that one. But I think I will do now for definite. There's kind of lesson in there. I mean, there's all kinds of lessons, but it's obviously extremely timely in terms of tapping into current events, what's on people's minds. I mean, you know, it's a bit of an understatement, current events, the biggest event you've had for a long time over there, isn't it? The election, if one of the biggest events in the world, really. Is that something that you've kind of done before, I imagine you do it in your copyright, and when it's relevant, try and tap into, you know, what's on people's minds at the time.
I think it's extremely important to do that, and the only problem is if it's something that's temporary that's going to pass, then you know you're going to have to change it later. But yeah, I try to do that as much as possible, to tap into current events and what's on people's minds, you know, and that's why it's so important to kind of keep up with what's going on in the culture and kind of watch popular TV shows and watch popular movies. And you know, I read a couple different news sites. For example, DrudgeReport.com. It's probably the biggest news site on the internet. It's definitely kind of slanted toward one way, but basically, he just compiles all the top headlines, so it's all there. You can see what's going on in the world with a glance.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a huge one, isn't it? Okay, then. So the next one, then, Ben, is, I'll read it out, a gift for all fans of Frank, how do they say his second name?
Betker. Frank Betker.
Betker, yeah. A gift for all fans of Frank Betker, author of How I Raised Myself from Failure to Success in Selling. So, and then there's another link. That's kind of self-explanatory, I would imagine. It's, you know, you're offering a gift and you're kind of understanding that your followers on Twitter are going to be fans of Frank, yeah?
Well, I figured this. The real hardcore selling and marketing people will know who Frank Betker is. He was a sales teacher from back in the early to mid-1900s, and he has a fascinating book out called How I Raised Myself from Success or from Failure to Success in Selling. And it's a great book. It's been endorsed by a lot of top copywriters, top marketers. And I figure even if people didn't really know who he was, they might be intrigued enough to want to check it out. And so I've had this news article about him for a couple of years now, and I have never done anything with it. I just have it in PDF, and I thought, well, maybe now's the time to do something with it, you know, just give it away as a gift, you know, and people love getting gifts, and it's not like you want to do it all the time, but it does keep people wanting to read your, whether you're writing a blog or whatever, it keeps people coming back, because, like, what other things are you going to recommend, you know?
It seems, you know, certainly something that you're doing a lot. I mean, I know that everyone kind of, you know, gives away free reports and all the rest of it, but it seems to me as if you kind of really do go that extra mile to, you know, give away stuff a lot of the times that could, you know, that could certainly be a product that you were selling. I mean, it's, you know, some of that stuff, like I said at the beginning of the call, that you give away on your website. I mean, it's just awesome stuff.
Well, it's, you know what it is? It's all about building trust, and it's just the strategy I use, and it's not always the best strategy to do what I'm doing. But in my case, for what I'm trying to do, it works perfectly because it builds so much trust. And when a client wants to hire me or is looking into hiring me to write an ad, I mean, I have my voice all over my website. I've demonstrated my knowledge all over my website. I don't hold back, and they don't have to vet me like they would an unknown person.
Yeah.
And I guess that's a whole other topic in and of itself.
Yeah, sure. So, yeah, I mean, it's interesting. I mean, that, it definitely comes through how you just explain your strategy. I mean, this is the first time we've actually spoken, but, I mean, it's, you know, that's exactly how it all comes across, you know, without a doubt. Okay, let's push on with these tweets. And so you've got another one here. This is an editing interview I did with a speaker. Great tip for marketers. People instantly believe and trust public speakers. It's the podium effect. So there's no link in this one.
Yeah, there is on my blog, only because when I did this, I could put a link on my blog like that. I mean, in Twitter, you can't make anchor links. But that all I was doing at the time, this was probably back in March or April, and I had interviewed a guy named J.P. Maroney, who was a public speaking trainer.
Oh, yeah, yeah, I've seen this guy, yeah.
Yeah, and it was a great interview. He did, you know, he gave a lot of great information away. And I don't know why this one, you know, I don't know what made it popular, so-called. I mean, when I say something's popular, it may have gotten a handful of replies, but usually you don't get any replies, you know. I think it has to do with the fact that everybody in the world, not everybody, but like most people's biggest fear is public speaking. And so even though they may have no desire to do public speaking, to read about it is kind of fascinating, because even if you know you're never going to do it, that's just my guess. And again, it was just good information. We sell something at the end of it, but you're still going to learn a lot of cool things either way. So I think people just got a big kick out of it. And I kind of gave away a little bit of a nugget of information in it, too, about the podium effect, which is actually not something he even talks about. I learned it from somebody else, but it's true. So it kind of gives you a little taste of what to expect when you go over to that interview.
Yeah. It's really smart. It's like I just love about these that they're all, I don't know, they're just kind of self-contained. I mean, it's a bit difficult without any kind of contrast, but when you see some of the tweets, and you know, certainly some of the stuff that I've kind of tweeted out, I mean, it's it kind of makes me see that how much more value you can give in 140 characters, which is why I love these so much. You know, I mean, I've even done a couple of tweets which is where I've kind of modelled them on the kind of order or the sequence of some of these, you know, without kind of blatantly ripping them off, obviously. But
yeah,
you know, it's and it's quite useful for that. And I'd say that anybody who's, you know, I mean, if this is kind of cool and everything, you correct me if I'm saying the wrong thing here, but you know, anybody looking at these tweets, if they're stuck and they're just kind of thinking, well, where do I start? What, you know, and you know, there's some useful guidance just by looking at them and then modelling your own tweets on the way that you've laid these out. So
I think there's a lot of I think that's a good idea. It's swiping the structure, but you know, the foundation of what I try to do, and you know, these are 10 that I guess most people would consider good tweets, but I'm sure I have some bombs out there that people just ignored. But you know, what I try to do is I just try to make it, if I'm going to say something, I want it to be worth someone's while to spend the 2 seconds reading it and not be the guy on the timeline that everyone just ignores.
Yeah, sure. Mm. Okay, let's crack on. So we've got another one here. Americans are pawning stuff at record paces, link. Huge opportunity to buy stuff cheap and resell at fat profits. So that's going to hook people, I would imagine.
Well, that I remember that one. That was written probably, I think it was last spring, and that was a real news story. And I read that, and my only regret is I didn't get the word eBay into that tweet. I should have. I just kind of assumed everybody would make the connection, but it's true. if people are pawning things at record paces for extra cash, now's the time to buy those things up cheap so you can resell them later at a profit like on eBay. But again, it's just something for, it gave some, I think it just gave people something to kind of think about.
Sure. Okay, and the next one then is, this is referring to the movie, yeah?
Yeah, yeah.
North by Northwest. Okay,
yeah.
So I'll read it out. It says, North by Northwest is on, perfect copywriter flick. The hero is an advertising man, and the action pace is a great sales letter model. Now, all of that is, again, is new information to me, so that's fascinating.
Well, I've always thought it was a great movie, and it's very fast-paced, and again, people who have read my stuff in the past, I've talked about the pacing of a sales letter, how it, and I didn't invent this by any means. The guy who I learned this from, his name was Eugene Schwartz, passed away several years ago, but he was known as one of the greatest copywriters, you know, ever during his time.
Yeah, sure, yeah.
And one of his big secrets that he revealed was, he would watch certain action movies. He would sit there with a stopwatch, he said. And the thing is it was all action. There'd be a little bit of dialogue, a little slow spot, about 5 minutes, and then action. 5 minutes of slow stuff, you know, someone dies. 5 seconds of slow, or 5 minutes of slow stuff, a body falls on someone's windshield. You know what I mean? It just constantly reels you in, which is something a good sales letter does. I mean, sometimes you just have to say stuff that's not going to be exciting in a sales letter. So you want to keep pulling them in with something interesting and unique and shocking. And, you know, and so anyway, I kind of tied it into that blog post, and I thought North by Northwest was another one of those types of movies where it just constantly engages you throughout the whole thing. It's an old Alfred Hitchcock movie, and he was one of the best. So people seem to get a kick out of it, especially since the main character is he's an advertising man. So I guess that held some kind of bonding to it.
And so people like that one, and they responded in some way or let you know that they like it, yeah?
Oh, yeah, I got response. I love that movie. I'm a copywriter. I thought the same thing. I always liked that movie because, you know, he's an advertiser. You know, it's not about advertising. You don't learn anything about advertising. But the sales, the structure really is how a good sales letter should be, which is lots of action, fast-paced reading, you know, a little bit of a slow period every now and then just to talk about whatever details have to be said, and then more fascinating stuff. I mean, you just keep that pace up. And I guess people just really connected with that.
The next one then is a copywriting tip. And what you wrote was reading an ad out loud multiple times to catch any snags or bumps in the copy before sending it to the client. Tedious but necessary.
Yeah, well, it was very tedious. It was like a 24-page sales letter. And I have this kind of rule with myself is where I like to read an ad I write. I like to read it out loud at least 10 times when I'm done. Like when I've got it to the point where I think it's ready, I then read it out loud 10 times, usually over the course of a week or so. And you always catch all kinds of errors and spelling problems, and just the flow might not make sense. Or even better is a lot of times you'll come up with better ideas and you may end up significantly changing the ad altogether and making it much better just because you're reading it out loud. And that was just a tip I wanted to pass on to everybody, because, again, I do that the vast majority of people reading those tweets are people on my list or people I want to be on my list, because I'm sure not everybody's on my list yet that's on Twitter, so I just throw it out there.
Yeah, yeah. How are we doing for time, Ben? We're just reaching about half an hour. Have we got time to just do these last couple?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, well, we can finish.
Yeah, okay. So on this next tweet then, now what you're saying is planning some hardcore publicity campaigns for next year. Works like a charm in bad economies. For more info, and then there's the link.
That's kind of like the speaking one. A lot of people don't think of using publicity, or they only think of using online publicity. But the fact is, when economies start to go down, like, which is on a lot of people's mind right now, using regular offline publicity, it's very cheap. And it's very, very effective. In fact, I think it's effective no matter what the economy is like. It's extremely effective because it gives you that, once you're in the news, you're like automatically considered an expert. Even if you're brand new, if you get yourself in the news or interviewed by a newspaper or radio station, anyone who sees that interview is going to think you're an expert. And it's like the best way to stand out during a bad times when everybody else is freaking out and scrambling around and maybe not sure what to do. You're kind of out there, the voice of reason in the media, being endorsed by the media unofficially. So I wanted to pass that on, and then I link it to a recording I did of how to write a press release. I mean, it's 99% meat. There's a little bit of a sales pitch at the end, but it's mostly just to show people how to actually do it, and it, people tend to appreciate that sort of thing.
Okay. So so that's linking back to your own site. Yeah. Do you have any kind of policy about how often you Twitter your own links, kind of thing?
Well, I'll do it if it's relevant. I mean, I don't plan to do it, but if it's relevant, if I can think of a reason to do it and it makes sense, I'll do it, because every time I link back to my site, it's almost always to something that's going to give value before it tries to sell something. So,
yeah.
I mean, that's kind of the key. You know, like that, like the press release one, the speakers one. I mean, any of the interviews on my site, any of the blog posts. There's some sales pitches, obviously. I mean, I'm all for sales pitches, but I don't know. I mean, you got to build trust first, and the best way to build trust is to demonstrate you know what you're talking about, and so they get some kind of value first, no matter what. So I don't feel like I'm wasting anyone's time, I guess is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, sure. And so the last one, Ben, you've got reading Jerry Spence's How to Argue book, Tip for Writers, page 124, hands are linked to creativity when problem solving, write, don't meditate.
Yeah, that book, How to Argue and Win Every Time, I mean, I had to shorten the title to fit it in 140 characters, but that is one of the best books. Anybody who's in marketing or copywriting or selling of any kind, it's phenomenally good. And there's this tip in there. When I read it, I was like, oh, my gosh, everybody needs in copywriting should realize this. I mean, anyone in any kind of persuasion type of business should do this. And that is, you keep moving. You know, if you try to stop, you probably won't come up with good ideas. But if you just keep writing, there's something, some kind of weird connection between our hands in our brain, the creative side of our brain. So just keep writing, and usually you'll come up with whatever solution you're looking for. And I just thought, what a perfect tweet for copywriters. I mean, I could fit it in 140 characters. I don't have to write a whole newsletter about it. And I think people got a lot of value out of that. I mean, I know I certainly did when I read it.
Yeah, for sure. That's awesome, Ben. That's absolutely brilliant. I mean, just for people listening, what I'm going to be doing is listening back to this recording. Then I'm going to write an article and pick out the key parts about what you've said, because I'm sure that some absolute key principles when we go back through the recording and try and draw out some patterns or some basic tips for people. So if you want to get that article, there's probably the best way of connecting with me is to go to Twitter and check me out, Glenn Crozier, Glenn with one N, Crozier with an S. And I guess also you'd be wanting to follow Ben on Twitter. So what's your Twitter name, Ben?
It's just Ben Settle, no spaces or anything, just twitter.com/BenSettle.
Okay, that's absolutely brilliant, Ben. Thanks for your time, really, and also for your expertise and wisdom. That's been a real learning process for me, not only in just what you've been saying, but in some of the resources you've been pointing us to just on this call. So that's absolutely awesome. Thanks a lot for your time, Ben.
Well, thank you for doing this. I appreciate you contacting me about this.